Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're going to play this game every time.
I am not, okay. But he is my favorite conservative.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
So our theme for, I'm way off. So our theme for season three is the march to the election, and it is only 2 days away.
Coming up, isn't it?
It is coming up. The polls are tightening, and I don't think anyone really has a handle on what's going on, including us. I'm not sure.
Oh, I know what's going to happen.
So, okay.
I'll fill everybody in later.
Okay. Edward knows. All right. All right. So let's see where the polls are and how they've changed in the last week of campaigning.
Right.
So, wow. In 1 week, it's been crazy. So
yeah.
In the Real Clear Politics, RCP national average Trump versus Harris. Last week, Trump was up 0.3. This week, he's up a whopping 0.1.
Which means nothing.
It means
that's dead even.
It's dead even.
Yeah,
okay.
We also do this day in history where we look back in both the 2020 and the 2016 campaigns on this date. This time last year, Joe Biden was up 7.2.
Wow.
Yeah, that's huge. And Hillary Clinton was up 1.8. And that, if you recall, she was in the middle of James Comey, the head of the FBI, reopening the investigation into her
emails
before the election. So that's why that's so close.
All right. Let's get to the battleground states.
We shall.
Okay. I will go first. Again, these are all averages from RCP. So last week in Pennsylvania, which it seems like is going to be the defining state.
Yep.
We'll talk more about that. Last week, Trump was up 0.6. This week, he's still up, but only 0.4. So slight drop and well within the margin of error.
Yes.
All right. Sticking to the East Coast in North Carolina, Trump last week was up 0.8. He's now up 1.4. In Georgia, last week, Trump was up 2.2. He's now up 2.3. I'm just going to say right now, I don't think there's any question that Trump is going to get North Carolina or Georgia. I really don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just putting it out there.
I may have some comments about that later in the show.
Okay. All right. Take us to the Midwest.
Let's go to the upper Midwest. Let's go to Michigan, where last week, Donald Trump was up a whopping 0.2. It is now flipped. Kamala Harris is up 0.6.
Okay.
So that's a switch. And Wisconsin, last week, Trump was up 0.2 also. And this week, Kamala Harris is up 0.3. So another switch there back to Kamala.
So why do you think that's happened specifically in the Midwest?
I wish I knew.
I know.
The only thing I can really think of is this week, the media. It's 100% negative on Trump and 100% positive basically on Kamala, and
could be
a lot of times, and there have been a lot of other storylines that have been playing out this week. So maybe.
All right, I'll take us out west.
Do indeed.
All right, last week Trump was up 0.7 in Nevada. This week he's up 1.2, and last week Trump in Arizona was up 1.5. This week he's up 2.9. Now that is a big difference.
Yeah, I don't know why he jumped so much in Arizona.
I don't think he was campaigning there. I can't remember.
Yeah, he was actually down in Phoenix with Tucker Carlson.
So maybe that helps.
Yeah, that certainly doesn't hurt for sure.
Yeah, I do think Nevada may be too close to call. I think despite the fact that Carrie Lake is going to lose her Senate race, which we're going to get into, I do think Trump's going to take Arizona.
I would agree with you on that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, so you agree with me on Arizona, but not North Carolina and Georgia?
North Carolina, well, Georgia has a habit of coming up with ballots. Atlanta does.
Oh, okay. So. All right. And on predictit.org, where people bet on the races, this is the craziest thing, guys. So please pay attention. We see you watching live. Last week, there was a 20-cent difference in Trump's favor, 62 for Trump, 42 for Kamala. And again, this is people actually putting their money where their mouth is. This week, there's a 9-cent difference in Kamala's favor. So that's a swing of 29 cents. I mean, you can almost say percentage points, but it doesn't quite work that way. So today, Harris is at 57, Trump's at 48. That is just, I'm just shocked by the swing.
Yes and no. The Trump 20-point or 20 cents differential last week was the biggest of the campaign.
Yes.
Either way.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm just wondering if all these different little storylines that came out, you know, people that bet, when I was a trader, we loved when markets moved. Doesn't matter which way.
That's right.
But if markets move, you can make money.
Yeah.
And any of these little stories, people were betting left and right to get, you know, whatever quick short-term gain they could.
Right.
So I think that has a lot to do with it.
So, and I also want to throw out there, and we always put this stuff in the show notes, there is another gambling site. I'm not really clear how it differs from predictit.org, which I personally use myself. This other one called Kalshi, not Kalsheet, but Kalshi, K-A-L-S-H-I. I think the main difference is it's an app, and it has real-time data. So I'm going to refresh my phone right now and tell you what Kalshi says, because it did look like predict it, and now, and it's already changed, they have Trump at 52, Kamala at 48 on who will win the presidential election. And I'm not kidding, you can refresh this every 5 minutes and the numbers change.
It's real time.
It's real time. So that's, if you want to gamble, not that we're encouraging that, that is another site you can go to that we'll put in the show notes. So.
All right.
So what are we going to talk about on our final show before Election Day? And wait.
Okay.
Before you answer that question, does this mean this is the last time we talk about polls? Please.
I'd like to say yes.
Can we cut the polls? I don't know.
We will see. It depends what kind of polls there's going to be after election polls, because
A
really good chance that we still won't know who.
Oh, please don't. Don't put it out there. Okay. All right. So what are we going to talk about today?
All right. Well, what we are going to do, we're going to break down all the races.
Okay.
We're going to break down the House, the Senate, and the presidential race. We're not going to go into each individual race, especially in the House.
Yeah, that's
because
too many.
There's 435 members.
No, we wouldn't do that.
This would be a four-hour show.
Yes.
We could take Joe Rogan on here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to break them all down. And when all said and done, we're going to give you our predictions.
Okay. And what's the best part about this?
We have not spoken about our predictions with each other. So
we have not.
It will be fresh and live as you see it here.
Okay. So let's start with the House.
Okay.
All right. So as always, every House seat, as Edward mentions, up for re-election every 2 years. Need to change that. That's stupid. That's my personal opinion. So there are 435 races. You need 218 to control the House. Currently, there are 220 Republicans and 212 Democrats, and there are three vacant seats. So tell us about the vacant seats.
Three vacant seats, one Republican, two Democrat. The Republican seat that's vacant is Mike Gallagher in Wisconsin.
Okay.
He has retired.
Someone who actually retired from Congress?
He did. Now, Mike Gallagher was a bigger rhino, as you could imagine, a pure establishment, and he didn't feel he had any say in the party anymore, which he didn't.
Okay.
But what he did is he waited until a couple of days after the deadline of when the Republicans could have replaced him in the House. So he waited until that expiration date and then retired. So this is a vacant seat instead of actually having a Republican in the seat, which is always harder to unseat an incumbent, for sure. The other two, both because of deaths. Sheila Jackson Lee out of Texas. Everybody knows her as the far, far leftist. No question about that. And Bill Pascrell of New Jersey.
Okay.
It's believed, though, that all three of the seats are going to stay Republican, Democrat, Democrat. So
okay.
There's not going to be a change there.
Yeah, because in 2022, there was no red wave, and the reelection rate was 94.5%.
94.5% reelection rate. So if you're an incumbent, you got a pretty good shot.
Yeah. AOC, you're safe.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to us a little bit about the Cook Political Report, which we will put in the show notes.
Yeah. So what Cook does is they give you four categories. They're called solid, which means there's no way the incumbent can lose. Likely, more than likely, they're going to win. Leaning, better than a 50-50 chance that it's going to stay whatever. And then toss up.
Which are the best ones?
Toss ups are the fun. Yeah. So that's what we're going to focus on that. But right now, Democrats, in terms of the solid, have 175 solid seats.
And the Republicans
have 191.
I was going to do that, you know.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right.
All right. You want to be Democrat or Republican?
No. Keep going. You do Democrat. Okay. I'll do Republican. Just
all right.
To switch
so
it up.
175 to 191.
Right.
In the likely category, Democrats have 17 seats.
Republicans have 9.
Okay. And in the lean category, Democrats have 13 seats.
And Republicans have 8.
Right.
So that let's do the totals. Democrats right now, solid, likely, and lean
are 205.
Right. And Republicans, solid, likely, and lean are
208.
Woo! So that pretty is close. Tight.
So there are 22 toss-up races.
Okay.
In the entire Congress.
Okay.
And the predictions out there and Cook and everybody else that we're seeing, it looks like there's going to be 10 Democrats and 12 Republicans. So that looks like the way those are going to break down. If this holds, the House would be Republicans at 220, Democrats at 215. And basically they would have picked up about 2 or 3 seats from the last where there was no red wave. So
okay, so the Republicans would still control the House.
They would, but
it'd be so
it's
slim.
It's a five seat differential, but it's really a 2-seat differential because if you have two of your people switch to the other side, you're screwed. So
yeah, okay.
And what that does is it makes every congressperson, every member of the House has basically veto over everything that comes through.
So nothing will happen in government.
It's very difficult to rule, if you will, or pass laws and whatnot when you have such a small majority. And that's what, I mean, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is dealing with that right now with the Republicans.
Right.
For sure. Yes.
Okay. So how would that affect Trump if he wins?
Well,
if the Republicans still control the House.
If the Republicans still control it, it would be bad for sure to only have such a small majority. It's always nice to have a 20 or 30 seat majority. By the way, over in history, there was a time from the 50s to the 90s that the Democrats controlled the House for 40 straight years.
Yeah.
With like 50 or 60 vote margins.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're obviously a much more of a 50-50 country now. But I just wonder on if Trump wins and we lose the House,
right.
the Republicans lose the House, how many times do you think Donald Trump would be impeached?
Many.
Yeah.
Many
I'm thinking 5, 6, yes. Could be 7. They would impeach him like on day one. Doesn't
yes.
matter about what. They will find something.
Yes.
So that would be horrible.
All right. So we're not going to go in depth on the House races the way we are with the Senate. We are going to go a little more in depth.
Correct.
With the Senate.
Correct. Yeah. So you want to do some predictions?
Sure. And I see people watching live. Please feel free to comment. I believe that we can see your comments in real time, definitely on YouTube and LinkedIn as well. Right. And we will feature them, especially if you have any questions for us. Just know that, like, you know, these are just predictions. We don't know for sure. All right, so I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
Who will control the House?
Republicans will keep the House. I think it's going to be, they're going to have about an 8-vote margin, a little bit better. I would like to say more. You know, it depends how big a coattails President Trump would have if he were to win.
Okay, all right. Edward's really big in the seat margins. I'm not, all right? I agree with you. I think the Republicans will control the House. I actually think it's going to be really tight, though. I don't think it's going to be really any different than it is right now.
Okay.
I think it's going to be super tight, which could still potentially be very bad if Trump is reelected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All
trying
right.
to get something, an agenda passed.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the Senate.
All right.
How many seats are in play in the Senate?
Well, Senate isn't like the House where it's up every 2 years.
They're
six-year term, but they're staggered. So
yes.
There are 34 races going to be.
Well, let's talk about the layout of the Senate right now.
Okay.
I'll do that first. Right. So right now there are 48 Democratic senators, 49 Republican senators, and 3 independent. And Edward wants a little asterisk here, i.e. Democrats.
Yes.
So
there is no such thing as an independent who does not caucus with the Democrats.
It would be me if I were a senator. It would be me. Okay. All right. So now that we know the Senate.
So basically it's 51-49
right.
Democrats.
Right. All right. So there are 34 races. Let's talk
right.
about
You need 50 or 51 seats to control the Senate.
I'd say 51. But
again, remember Biden's first 2 years in office, it was a 50-50 Senate. And Kamala, as vice president, was the tie-breaking vote.
Well, that's why I'm saying you want 51. You don't want 50.
No, of course. But that's where Kamala kept, that's what she's campaigned on of, I've made so many tie-breaking votes and stuff, and now it's coming back to bite her in the butt.
Okay, yeah, okay. Let's stick to the Senate. All right.
Little gems.
How many Democrats are defending their seats?
The Democrats, this is not a good year to be a Democrat trying to defend. They're defending 23 seats.
And Republicans?
The Republicans are defending 11.
11, okay.
Right.
All right. So we are going to talk about the Democrats first, right? The races to watch.
Correct.
So Edward's going to give us the state, the RCP poll prediction, and kind of give us like a little bit of, you know, tidbits on each senator. And I'll just interject as I feel necessary.
Okay. Well, let's start out with Michigan, obviously a battleground state for sure.
Very important state.
This is an open seat because Debbie Stabenow, the Democrat, retired.
Oh, okay.
Finally retired. So it's Elisa Slotkin versus Mike Rogers. And it is listed as a toss-up.
What are their backgrounds?
As a prediction. So Elisa Slotkin, she's 48 years old. She has been in the House since 2019, and she's trying to step up to become a senator.
Okay.
Now, Mike Rogers, he is 61 years old. He was a House member from 2001 to 2015, and he was somewhat of an influential House member. He chaired some committees and things. He retired. He's coming back to try to win the Senate seat.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. And what is the, you want me to do the RCP?
Sure.
So RCP right now has Slotkin, the Democrat, winning. She's 2.7 points ahead, but again, still within the margin of error.
Yeah, this one could definitely go either way.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. I actually think Mike Rogers will take this.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
He's got better name. He actually has better name recognition, I think.
Okay.
And he was, there's so much of Michigan that is, and by the way, story out of Michigan this week is Ford had another round of layoffs, which is never good for the administration that's in power.
That's true.
For sure.
All right, let's stay in the Midwest and let's go to Ohio.
Let's go to Ohio, the red state of Ohio. This is Sherrod Brown versus Bernie Moreno.
Okay.
All right, it is listed as a toss-up also.
Okay.
Sherrod Brown is 71 years old. He's been a senator since 2007. But he has been in politics his entire life. He started his political career in 1974 when
Nixon. When I was an itty bitty baby.
You were still in diapers. Yes, at that point. He has never held a job outside of government.
Okay, that's not super unusual for some of these people.
It's not. In terms of, you'll see as we go through this, that a lot of people are just saying enough career politician. Bless you again.
Sorry for the live viewers. There's always two sneezes.
Nope.
All right.
Okay.
So give us the Republican.
Republican is Bernie Moreno. Bernie's an interesting story. He was actually born in Columbia. He's 57 years old.
Nice.
He is a self-made millionaire.
Very impressive.
I believe his net worth is in excess of $100 million. He actually came up and worked his way into auto dealerships, ended up owning a string of auto dealerships. So that's how he made his money.
Okay.
He has never held office before at all. This will be a very interesting race. What's the RCP saying on this?
RCP is saying that Brown, that has the, he
Sherrod
has the better,
Brown. Mm-hmm.
Sherrod Brown has the better name recognition, is up by a point. So again, this is even tighter than the Michigan.
Yeah.
One.
If you are an incumbent and you only have a 1 point lead at this point, that is serious trouble.
So no. Moreno could be, maybe people are seeing him, let us know if you're in Ohio, like a breath of fresh air.
It is, yeah. Sherrod Brown's been around forever, you know. But the thing is, Ohio's a red state. There's no chance President Trump's going to lose Ohio. And any coattails should put Bernie Moreno in the Senate.
Okay. All right. All right. So, again, these states, man, they all sound familiar. It's not a surprise. We're going to Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. This is Bob Casey versus Dave McCormick.
Okay.
And it is, again, listed as a toss-up.
Honey, we're only doing the toss-ups, right?
Well, no, we've got a couple of leads
here, too.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right. This is a toss-up. Keep going.
So Bob Casey is the incumbent. He has been a senator. He's 64 years old, by the way. He has been a senator since 2007. He was born into a political family. His father was the governor previously in Pennsylvania.
So a lot of name recognition.
Correct.
For sure.
Yeah. The Caseys are very, very well known there. Dave McCormick is 59 years old, so they're about the same age. He's a former 82nd Airborne soldier in the first Gulf War, so started out in the military. Another self-made millionaire in finance, well into nine figures, I guess that is. What's interesting about him is 2 years ago, he tried to challenge for the Senate race that John Fetterman has. So he lost to Dr. Oz in the primaries.
Yes.
He lost by less than 1,000 votes. It went on for weeks on the counting. They counted and recounted and so on and so forth. So he's looking for a little redemption because obviously Dr. Oz got smoked by John Fetterman, who is impaired, shall we say. But so where do we stand in this race?
According to RCP, Casey's up by 2.5. And, you know, since he's the current senator and he has the name recognition and McCormick has already lost in a primary previously, I think Casey's going to get this.
Okay. I am not as sure as you are. It all depends on what Trump does at the top of the ticket, right? Because you always got to think somebody that's
But people aren't voting separately. They're not voting one day for president,
well,
one day for senator.
My point is, if you're willing to pull the lever for Donald Trump,
right?
Are you saying, gee, let's put more Democrats that oppose him in the Senate to oppose him? Or do you are you voting for a Trump ticket? That's where I'm going.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Got it. All right. Let's head to Wisconsin.
Another battleground state. Here we go.
Yes.
This is going to be Tammy Baldwin versus Eric Hovde.
This is a toss-up as well.
It is another toss-up. Tammy Baldwin, 62 years old. She's been a senator since 2013. She was actually in the House since 1999 up to 2013. So she's been in Congress for 25 years.
Okay.
Eric Hovde is another entrepreneur, Republican. He's 60 years old. Made a lot of money in banking and real estate and whatnot. So kind of an interesting race here. I have heard Hovde has real momentum going. But what are the polls saying right now?
RCP is saying that Baldwin is up by 1.3.
Yeah, another one. If you are an incumbent and you're only leading by a point or so, that's not good.
Yeah, I have to say, this is making it kind of exciting for election night because there are other things to pay attention to.
Oh, yeah. Especially besides the top of the ticket.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
How is the Congress going to make up to either help or impede
whatever
administration?
Right. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Let's go out west.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Go to Montana.
Okay.
This is a lean one. This is one in the lean category.
Leaning where?
So
leaning toward.
It's good. This was leaning Republican.
Okay.
Is leaning Republican. So this is John Tester versus Tim Sheehy.
Okay.
Now, John Tester is the incumbent.
Okay.
He is 68 years old. He's been a senator since 2007. And you're thinking Montana is bright red. John Tester is
like Alabama.
He's the only Democrat elected statewide.
That's wild. Wow.
In their House, in their Congress. In the U.S. also. So the only one. So he's trying to hang on. Tim Sheehy is a former Navy SEAL who the controversy right now, you and I both listened to Megyn Kelly the other day, and she had him on. And there's some sort of story about a gunshot wound that he got and he wasn't truthful about it. And she tried to get the answer out of him.
He was very vague, wasn't he? He was very evasive. I don't know. He's a former Navy SEAL. I got the feeling that there was a lot he couldn't say about the so-called gunshot wound. But even with all that malarkey going on, RCP has Sheehy up 6.5 points.
You're up 6.5 on an incumbent. You're in pretty good position.
Even with bad press.
Correct.
I think Sheehy's got this one.
I think also. In fact, let's go to one where there's going to be no doubt.
All right. West Virginia.
West Virginia. This is an open seat because Joe Manchin retired. Joe Manchin, longtime Democrat, and in the last 6-8 months of the campaign turned independent.
Okay.
So he retired. And so it's Glenn Elliott versus Jim Justice, one of the greatest names in politics.
That's a great name.
He should be the sheriff, right?
Yeah.
So
that's a great name.
Elliot is the Democrat. Okay. He's 52 years old. He is the former mayor of Wheeling, West Virginia, which is, I guess, the second biggest city in West Virginia, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Let us know, West Virginia.
Jim Justice is the current governor. So
this surprise me. I just don't understand. You said he's termed out, right?
I think he is termed out.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, you're the current governor. Why run for Senate? But I guess if you can't, he did. He is a Nepo baby.
So. He's a member of the Lucky Sperm Club. Yes. Yeah. He inherited a coal business from his daddy, and he's worth close to $1 billion.
Okay. So, all yeah. right.
But where are the predictions on this one?
Yeah. The reason this is a solid R is because Jim Justice, again, great name, is up 34 points. 34, not 3.4, like every other race, 34.
I think this is going to be the biggest margin of victory on any House or Senate seat, right? I don't think anybody's,
history, yeah.
anybody's going to get more than 34.
That's yeah, crazy. Wow.
For sure.
All right, cray cray. All right, let's move on. Oh my gosh, we see so many of you watching live today. Thank you so much.
And if you're in battleground states.
Yeah, please let us know what your thoughts are.
Yeah,
we would love to hear them. We feature every comment, even if you don't like us. And if you're watching us on LinkedIn and YouTube, we can feature your comments. Otherwise, I don't think we're able to feature them.
People don't like us?
Yeah.
Huh.
We got lovers. We got haters.
Okay.
All right.
Gotta love the haters. All right. Let's move on.
Republicans. The races to watch for Republicans.
Okay. So these are current Republicans.
Yes.
So let's start in the middle of the country.
Nebraska.
Nebraska. So this is Deb Fischer versus Dan Osborne.
Okay.
Deb Fischer is the incumbent.
Current, right.
She is 73 years old. She's been a senator since 2013. So this would be her third term trying
okay.
to run. This is a lean Republican.
Okay.
She's going up against Dan Osborne, who claims he's an independent. He's a registered independent. He is a union organizer, and his entire background is way in progressive politics. So how he tries, and he's campaigning completely as, I'll work across the aisle with anybody and all this other garbage, which is in flat out lie. There's no chance this guy's background shows that he's willing to work across the aisle with anybody.
Well, has he been a politician before?
No, I don't believe he's won anything.
Okay.
He's just...
So you're just basing this on his experience?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Well, RCP has Fischer up 4 points.
Yeah. This is a lean Republican.
Yeah. So I think she's going to keep the Senate seat.
I think so. That's
especially
this,
Nebraska.
But this is one I'm worried about though.
Why?
It just is. I just have this feeling that He's got great ads out there. He really does.
Osborne?
And yeah.
Okay.
And whether he can fool enough people, that's one I'm going to really be watching closely.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Texas.
Let's go down to ZZ Topland, down to Texas. We got Ted Cruz versus Colin Allred.
All right.
Of course, we all know Ted Cruz, right?
Very well.
He's the incumbent. He's 53. I actually thought he was like 60.
No, he's close to my age.
I know.
He's a year older than me.
And by the way, J.D. Vance looks great with his beard. Ted Cruz doesn't look great, but he looks way better than
Ted. Oh,
did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The beard works for Ted. So
yes.
Ted Cruz has been a senator since 2013, so he's going for a third term here. This
right.
is a lean Republican. Colin Allred, he is 41 years old.
Yeah.
He has been a member of the House representing, I think, just outside of Dallas since 2019. He's actually a former NFL player.
Nice.
He was a linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. I think he played 4 years there.
Okay.
And where does it stand?
Right now, Cruz is up 4.1 points, and I'm going to give this to Cruz.
I will. I tell you, this is the most expensive Senate race in terms of outside money.
Really?
They've committed, and I'm going to say they, meaning Democrats, have committed over $100 million. They
Ooh.
Want to defeat Ted Cruz because they hate him.
They do.
They despise Ted Cruz. So this would be one on Chuck Schumer's feather in his cap if he could.
All right. And let's go to your home state.
My home state.
Of Florida. Let's wrap it up in Florida.
Rick Scott. Versus Debbie Marcuzel Powell.
Okay.
Now, Rick Scott is the incumbent.
Yes.
He is the former governor, by the way, of Florida.
I know. I recognize his name right away.
He's 71 years old. He's been a senator since 2019. So this is his second term trying to get there. Now, Debbie Marcuzel Powell. I followed Florida pretty closely. I spent more than 50 years there. Never heard of her. She's a congresswoman from the very tip of Florida, down in Homestead and also in the Keys.
Oh, okay.
And
that's what you have to say Keys because people don't know what Homestead
is. Yeah, which is the very tip of the mainland of Florida, way south of Miami.
Okay.
So She's actually Ecuadorian, so okay. She's from Ecuador. You have to say it like that. Ecuador.
Yeah. Okay, continue, please.
She was a House member for a whopping one term.
Ooh.
From 2019 to 2021.
That didn't work out too well
for her. It didn't, and somehow they think that this person is Senate material. So
all right, well,
I think she may be a sacrificial lamb because they had to put up somebody.
Oh, well, the RCP has Scott at 4.8. I think Rick Scott's going to retain the seat.
If Rick Scott loses this race because Florida has become so red, it's over. Yeah, that Trump will lose by 100 electoral votes if they don't elect Rick Scott in Florida. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That gets us to predictions.
Ooh, doggy.
All right. So who do you think will control the Senate?
This is a much easier year for Republicans. So the Republicans will control the Senate. I think they will have 53 seats at the end of the day.
Okay.
So 53-47. That's my prediction.
Okay.
And?
I agree. I think I'm not going to do the margins. I don't know. I do think that the Republicans are going to control the Senate.
Is it going to be 50-50, do you think? Or
50-50 to me is not control. Not.
Technically it is.
I don't care. No. I think it'll be at least 51-49, okay. At minimum, at least. But again, I think it's still going to be pretty tight.
Okay.
That brings us to the presidential election.
El Presidente.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Please. Chime in. We would love to hear from you when we see you watching live. Who do you think is going to be president? And what's really interesting is we have a guest episode coming up for you guys that we recorded weeks ago, and we went ahead and made presidential elections based on weeks ago. And there were three of us, the two of us and our guest, and we had different predictions. So I'm going to make you go first.
Okay. I will take that mantle and run with it here.
Okay. The winner... I knew you would.
The winner, I think, will be Donald John Trump. Mm-hmm. I think in the Electoral College, I actually put it on here on my phone. I think he's going to win 296 to 242.
How's he going to get to 296?
He's going
to
win Pennsylvania and he's going to win Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's not going to win Wisconsin.
He's got a much better chance of winning Wisconsin than he does. He won it before, by the way.
I know he did. Okay. I know he won it before. Well, I'm going to hit you on live.
That was Hillary's.
Yes, I remember, but he didn't win it last time.
And by the way, remember, speaking of Wisconsin, let's just take this a little deeper.
Oh, God. Okay.
This time in 2016, Hillary had a 5.5-point lead 2 days before the election in Wisconsin. And she lost.
Yes.
So.
But he did not win it in 2020.
He didn't, but it was about 10,000 votes total. It was really, really close.
Okay. So, all right.
That's my prediction. So will he win the popular vote? No, I don't think a Republican win the popular vote unless it's a 49 state landslide. California's too big.
New York is too big.
Yeah, New York. Yeah. So it would be, it's not going to be like it was, whatever it was with Hillary, 3.5 million. I think it'll be a lot closer than that.
Okay.
I think maybe you're talking 1.5 million.
Okay.
Times.
So. All right.
Well, coming right back at you here. What do you got for us?
I thought a lot about this. This is going to sound a little crazy. I get this weird taste in my mouth when I think about President Harris. And I don't mean that I'm not saying I'm not going to vote for her. In fact, I'm not going to say who I am going to vote for. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But, and this is going to go, I'm going to go woo-woo.
Okay.
I have known a lot of things before they've happened in my lifetime, like throughout my lifetime. And I'm just known to my core. And it's weird. If I try to say President Harris, I have this metallic taste in my mouth. Now, what I can't figure out is, I told you I was going to get woo-woo, is does that mean that she becomes president and I don't like it? Or does that mean that it's just not going to happen because it's this weird taste in my mouth?
That's an interesting conundrum.
Yes, it is. But I'm going to stick with what I said with our guest several weeks ago. The path to victory through the Electoral College is easier for Trump. It's just the numbers are easier. So as far as who wins, I think it will be him.
That would be Trump?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think it will be Trump. But whomever wins, I just want to know on election night. That to me is either side. It would be so nice to go to bed that night and know who the president is without a doubt. But for that to happen, it can't be as tight as
it can't be a nail biter.
It can't be a nail biter.
Yeah.
So I do think President Trump will get reelected. But I think I don't think we'll know the night of. I wish we would, though.
What's kind of sad on this whole thing is we've got so much early voting now. It's voting season and stuff, right?
We don't have early voting here.
But you would think with all of that, that they would be set up and ready to go to get the votes counted, because a ton of them are already in.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't actually have that election.
Actually, almost everyone I know has already voted.
Right. Yeah. But you would think it would make it easier.
Yes.
To get a tally early on.
Right? Yeah.
So I guess not.
All right. Stop hitting my chair.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry for the audio only people. All right. Final thoughts, Edward?
I do. I have a couple of final thoughts.
I thought you would.
This one excites me. Mitch McConnell is finally stepping down as minority leader.
I know you're not a fan of his.
In the Senate, right? Yeah. He has controlled the Senate election campaign war chest of nearly $400 million. He has not given a single penny to Carrie Lake in Arizona, to Ted Cruz in Texas, or to Rick Scott in Florida.
And he's a Republican.
He's a Republican.
So why has he not given money to those campaigns?
They don't like him.
Oh, okay.
Because it is, unfortunately, Mitch McConnell has used this position, whether he was a minority leader or a majority leader, as his own little kingdom, his own little fiefdom, where he controls everything and sits on his throne and you know, I dub thee whatever and I give you money.
So you had to kowtow.
Yeah, if you don't kiss his butt, you're out. And you know what I say to him? Good riddance and go fuck yourself.
Okay?
I don't cuss a lot. But
he doesn't.
The only downside of this is he's not leaving the Senate. He's still going to be a senator from Kentucky, unfortunately.
So why is he stepping down? I'm surprised.
I think he's losing a lot of people now. And he doesn't like the way the Senate is moving more towards the Cruises and the Lakes, more conservative.
Okay.
And just remember, Mitch McConnell is, along with Chuck Schumer, they are a uniparty. They're part of the uniparty out there that it really doesn't matter to them who wins, because they make money
either way
off of whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and they're willing to play the games, and that's what it is for them. It's basically a game.
Okay. I know you have two more thoughts.
It is. You know, this is something I want everybody to look out for. So starting like tomorrow on Monday and Tuesday, if you start hearing stories on the mainstream media about how confident the Democrats are that they are going to see this unprecedented turnout in these major cities in these battleground states like Atlanta and Philly, right, and Detroit and Phoenix, they are basically greasing the wheels for some massive voter fraud.
Oh,
so what they're going to try to say is this we're seeing 90% turnout in Atlanta and Philly and whatever, because they know their internals are telling them that Kamala's losing or going to lose. They know that they need to grease the wheels to prime everybody to see major turnouts, which is basically they're just printing ballots and putting them through. And yeah, I'll say it, they're cheating. So be careful if you start to see these stories. That means Kamala's in deep doo-doo, and this is what they're going to try to do.
Okay.
If something like that were to happen and they just flood the market with these ballots, what I fear is they're going to cheat their way to victory. And once you are declared the victor, there's no Supreme Court ruling that's ever going to overturn it. And they're just willing to let, you know, chips fall where they may.
So is Al Gore not? He was the predicted winner.
No, he actually conceded to George Bush. Then he took it back.
Oh, he did. Remember? Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't remember.
Yeah,
okay. So. I do remember staying up all night. I did. I stayed up all freaking night, and I'm not doing that again.
So those are my final thoughts. What about you?
Okay. Again, thought a lot about this. My final thoughts are this. I have not voted for a major party candidate in 20 years. Last time was 2004, John Kerry. I even did some campaigning for him up in Oregon. And I haven't voted in a presidential election in 12 years since 2012. So in 2008, I'm going to just be transparent on this part. In 2008, I wrote in Hillary, actually. I preferred her to Obama. I did not think he had enough experience. And then in 2012, I voted for the Libertarian candidate because I just felt like I had to vote. And the last two presidential elections, I have not voted. And I kind of said part of it was where we live, right? Because our vote is
Alabama.
And we live in Alabama. It's a red state. We know which way it's going. So, you know, when you don't live in a toss-up state, you can sometimes feel like your vote doesn't count.
Yeah.
But it was really the last two times I didn't like either candidate. And so I've really thought about it this time, especially with us doing the show. Mm-hmm. And this is the third season of the show. And I am going to vote for. Nope, I'm not telling. I'm not telling. I will say this, though. I assure you it's not a vote against. I am not going to vote for Trump because I don't like Harris. And I'm not going to vote for Harris because I don't like Trump.
So you're going to vote for somebody, not against somebody.
That's right. Right? Okay. I'm a big fan of that. I don't understand voting just against. So I am voting for someone, either Trump or Harris. I already know who it's going to be. And I'm voting for that person because I believe that's what's best for the country.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all I'll say about that.
All right.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. So enough election talk. Let's get to our fun segments. Well, sort of. So we have a really brief This Week in Wins that's not in our script. So Edward's just going to, you know, freestyle it.
Yeah. In Virginia, the Supreme Court this week ruled for voter integrity, if you will. Excuse me. What had happened is in Virginia, I think it was about 1,600 people that were registered to vote actually identified themselves to the Virginia government saying, we're not eligible to vote. Virginia took them off the voter rolls, and the Biden-Harris Justice Department sued the state of Virginia. They're telling you we're not eligible to vote. We're taking you off the rolls. And anyway, it worked its way through the courts very quickly. The Supreme Court said, this is an easy one. Take them off the rolls. They're not eligible to vote anyway. So
okay.
Yay to that. Yay to the Supreme Court.
And we don't have a link in the show notes for that one. So, all right, let's get to my favorite segment that I'm going to make Edward do this week in What the Fuck.
Okay.
WTF. Right. He already said fuck once. I can't make him say it again.
If you're eating, you might want to put your food down.
If you get easily grossed out. Yeah, this is a good one, guys.
This is from our friend Chuck Ross at the Washington Free Beacon.
Thanks, Chuck.
Headline. Quote, try to poop before. Tim Walz gives taxpayer money to nonprofit that hands out booty bumping kits to drug users.
This is not.
And the subheadline is taxpayer funded nonprofit tells drug users it never hurts to have a boofing buddy.
This is so crazy.
Let me read it here. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz, who has described his Republican opponents as weird, gave taxpayer funds as Minnesota governor to a nonprofit that provides booty bumping kits for drug users to ingest through, quote, the butthole. I'm just reading it.
I know you are. I know.
On May 14th, Walz announced $100 million in funding for 135 nonprofit organizations to provide vital services to homeless people. At Southside Harm Reduction Services, a Minnesota-based nonprofit. Minneapolis, yes. The harm reduction services include the provision of kits that contain syringes, sterile water, drug cookers, and lube that allows users to ingest drugs through the rectum. The organization has touted the paraphernalia called booty bumping or boofing kits in social media posts.
Oh my Lord.
And on its website as both a safer method to ingest some drugs and an efficient way to get high. Quote, try to poop before. This is so your drugs are absorbed better, the nonprofit advises in a pamphlet contained in the kits. Quote, stand, squat, or lay on your side in a comfortable position. It never hurts to have a boofing buddy.
What the fuck? Oh my God, do you know what this reminds me of? There was a trend, I want to say in the 2010s, and this was the younger generation, it was millennials. There was a trend that if you were among female teenagers, if you wanted to get drunk faster, not kidding, this is what
Okay, I
some
don't know
girls
where this
did.
is going. Go
You, oh,
ahead.
you don't know
I
about
do
this? Oh,
not.
yeah. So there was a trend where girls were soaking tampons in vodka and sticking them in. Can you imagine how much that burns? Like how much that hurts? Okay, all my women out there, like holy cow. But that's what this reminds me of. Be
Well,
because you will get high faster going that route.
what a perfect segue, if you will. We're talking tampons loaded with vodka.
Yeah.
What state were we just talking about, and who are we talking about? Tim Walz, whose nickname is Tampon Tim, right? Because he put tampon machines in the boys' rooms. So sorry about that story, but it was just too good not to tell. But I think my position on it is, besides it being ridiculous and gross,
Yes.
is this what government money is for, really?
Oh
I
yeah.
mean, come on. Show me
Well,
in the Constitution
good
where it
people of
says you need a
Minnesota.
boofing
Well,
buddy.
no, people of Minnesota can decide. But real quickly, we have a comment from someone watching live. Hey, Mark. Happy New Year, Andrea. Happy New Year to
Thank
you,
you.
Mark.
Okay. We're a
Thanks so
little
much for
early.
watching live.
Happy New Year.
I don't know. I'm just reading his comment.
Okay.
Anyway,
All right.
thanks,
So
Mark.
we got to delve into this a little bit longer here,
Why?
because, well, is this the new trend where, like, in August we're seeing Halloween candy in Costco, in September we're seeing Christmas decorations, so now
Oh,
we're wishing Happy New Year in
okay.
November?
I'm not gonna. That was nice,
I'm
Mark.
just curious. No, thank you for that, but I'm just kind of curious where we're going
I
with
don't
this.
know, but let's
Yeah, how's your
continue.
summer going?
Okay, you're
Right? We're
funny.
that far ahead of the curve.
Okay,
Let's move
yes.
along, shall we?
Thank you. All right. This week in Woke, our sort of keystone segment. I think that's a word. This comes from Rich C. Savin-Williams, PhD in Psychology
By the way, he
Today.
spells his name Rich, RITCH. Have you ever
Yes.
seen that before?
I actually have.
You have?
We have a Rich's Pharmacy in Mount Brook.
Okay, sorry
Yes.
about that, my
Be
bad.
because this is one of the many times that I realized I needed reading glasses, not reading glasses, glasses to drive because I thought it said Bitch's Pharmacy because I couldn't
Sweet.
see.
I like it.
I need glasses to drive. Anyway, all right, the headline, Will Straight Men and Women Date a Trans Person? And again, this is from Psychology Today. So researchers Karen Blair and Rhea Hoskin in 2019 addressed the dating preferences of nearly 1,000 online participants with one question. Who would you consider dating? The options were, okay, this hurts me to say
I
this.
know.
The options were cisgender man, cisgender woman, trans man, trans woman, and genderqueer trans. The participants were predominantly young adults, most of whom were straight, cisgender individuals residing in Canada and the United States. They say young. I wish they'd given us the age range.
Yeah.
Anyway, here were the key points.
No, but by the way, in case you don't know, a cisgender is just who you are. If you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, you're a woman. Basic biology.
It scares me that you know that.
That's yeah. They're
Yeah,
trying
you're on
to.
top of it, ma'am.
All right,
Okay.
go ahead.
All right, the key points from this article were, which will be the show notes, trans persons are seldom viewed as desirable dating partners, recent research finds, especially by straight men and women.
What?
Overall, gender minorities lag behind sexual minorities in terms of societal attitudes toward them. And when considering whether they would date a trans individual, respondents appear to prize masculinity more than femininity. Okay. So what this reminded me of was the story of Miriam Rivera, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes to it. There's a great podcast called Harsh Reality, the story of Miriam Rivera. But basically what happened was this British television producer, Remy Blumenfeld, discovers Miriam Rivera and decides to make her or him the focus of a dating show.
So it's a man pretending to be a woman?
It's a man
Okay.
pretending to be a woman,
Got
trans
it.
woman. So he and the other show creators, they wanted to treat it, they called it There's Something About Miriam, and they wanted it to be a social experiment about gender and sexuality. And if you listen to the podcast, you'll hear all about the actual show, which was in 2004, I believe. Here's the thing, though. They had a group of lads, they called them. So these guys from the UK, six, and they were all given the task of winning over the heart of the beautiful and mysterious Miriam Rivera. With whoever wins her heart also gets a cash prize to boot. It's like, think the Bachelorette set in Ibiza, Spain, with a twist. The men didn't know Miriam was trans. They didn't know Marion was a biological male. Okay. This, when I listened to this podcast, and she has a very tragic ending to her story and everything, but in the context of this game show, if you will, this was so wrong what they did to these young men. It was so fucked up.
So you've got a bunch of men trying to make them fall for a man who's pretending to be a woman.
Yes. Right? Okay. Yes. And Miriam was in on it. The producers, all of the crew were too. And there was only one guy of the six who pretty early on, and they have actual footage of him saying it very early on, said, "Your man," like even though she is quite striking. And this says a lot. The production company ultimately settled with five out of the six contestants for £500,000. Yeah.
Crikey.
So I don't even know what to say, except that, does that article from Psychology Today surprise me? Yeah. No.
Yeah. So to me, what I took from this story is, so men and women, if you're not gay or lesbian, actually would like to date people with the opposite equipment.
Yeah.
And that's shocking to people. It's like,
yeah.
And they're kind of stunned by it that, oh my gosh, you wouldn't date a trans woman or man? No.
Well, and just to be the other side, because that's my goal on the show, is we play off each other a little bit. There are certainly exceptions, right? If you look at Chaz Bono, Chasti Bono, a woman, lesbian, married, when Chastity decided to become Chaz and transition to being male, which again, biologically you can't do, but anyway, his wife stayed with him. Her
wife stayed with,
yes,
with her.
Yes, exactly. Yes. On the flip side of that, Ellen Page, lesbian, married. When Ellen decided to become Elliot, the wife was like, see ya. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think my bottom line on this and the whole trans thing is, if you're a gay man or a lesbian woman, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't stop falling to the societal pressure of having to change.
I don't think that if you ask like the average, you know, even like say 30, but 40 or 50, I don't think anyone who's gay, whether they are man or woman, so I don't think it's them. It's young people, young people.
Yeah, that's more of what I'm talking about, is everybody goes through, you know, experiences of questioning or things like that. And they're telling these children.
Yeah. That, it's the young people.
Oh, you maybe you're gay, or you're probably not. You're probably the different gender
that's,
in your body.
That's the thing. Instead of saying, oh, because you're a girl and you're attracted to girls, you're lesbian. It's like, oh, no.
You're actually a boy.
You're actually a boy.
Yeah, we should add
weird.
A penis to you and chop
your
breasts off.
That's a whole other show. Yeah. So, okay. All
that
right.
That was fun.
Yeah.
So we went from the election to pooping to...
I can't. Don't bring up the pooping story. I'll start laughing too loudly. It'll hurt people's ears.
A full episode.
Yeah. All right. So thank you so much for joining us live today. We see you. We appreciate your comments, and follow us on all social media platforms. We are going to have a very special post-election, right now audio only episode. We'll see how my day goes that day, but on Wednesday, November 6th.
Ooh.
So we will not be streaming live next Sunday, but we will post even the audio only episodes across all podcast platforms, as well as YouTube and Rumble. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. And those reviews, guys, they're really, really crucial. They help us in the rankings, and they help more people find our podcast. So please, please rate and review, and you can support the show by joining our locals community. You can also, quote unquote, buy us a cup of coffee. You will see that at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show. And that's where you can go to sign up for our email list, and you can even leave us a voice memo if you like.
Me likes.
Yes. All right. Anything else, Edward?
So we're doing a show right after the next day after the election, right?
We are.
Okay. So you're either going to have trouble wiping the smile off my face, or please hide any sharp implements around the house.
Are you serious?
Oh, I couldn't take this.
Here's what I want to say about our post-election show right now.
Yes.
I hope we know.
Yeah, I hope we know.
Yeah. Like, I either side, yeah. I hope to God we know.
Agreed.
Okay.
So until next time.
Until next time. Thank you so much. We hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for watching, listening.